in times of war and peace. And never have we struck again in spite of foemen's fine, who cheered our crews and cheered again for showing how to fight. So here's Coast Guard marching song. We sing on land or sea. Earth and storm and howling gale, high shall our purpose be. Semper Paratus is our guide, our fame, our glory too. To fight, to save, or fight and die, I Coast Guard, we are for you.
Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And this is my Christmas broadcast. And in fact, it is our Christmas broadcast because today I have with me Captain Truman O'Brien, friend, colleague, and person now owning an airplane, formerly owning two airplanes, but we've talked about that before. And so... Truman and I send greetings all over the world, from Stockholm to on one side of the world to Singapore on the other side of the world, all of the ships and aircraft and all of Captain Joe's people in between, and in particular, because Truman is with me, to our Army buddies. So good afternoon to you, Truman, and I'm delighted, as always, to have you on with me.
Good afternoon, Joe. I'm happy to be here, And we're getting Alabama, perhaps, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, if my Army buddies are listening. I should say our Army buddies, since they're now your buddies as well, since you met them out here.
Indeed. And I am very strong believers in the concept of shipmates, which in your world are Army buddies. And these are people with whom you served in Vietnam.
Yep.
And so before I do the binnacle list part of my regular broadcast, would you add anything that you remember from when you were deployed at the Christmas season?
Yeah, sure. A couple of things. I was away from home for, I think, three Christmases, maybe four. And one of those, when I was in Vietnam, I got a box from my brother. And it was about, oh, I don't know, 3 feet long by maybe 8 inches, rectangular. And I thought, what in the heck is my brother? It was very light, you know, didn't weigh much. I opened that thing up, and it was a Christmas tree. A real live, well, it wasn't live, but, you know, a real Christmas tree. And it had dried a little bit, but not too bad. And we recut the end, and we stuck it in water, and it perked up a little. And I'm telling you, that was the hit of the year, having that Christmas tree, because that was the only one anywhere, you know, there. And we decorated it and did the whole popcorn and the string routine, the whole bit. Anyway, it was really a delight.
So Christmas deployed is a difficult time often for the people that are deployed, especially if they're in the combat zone, which you and I both were for at least one Christmas, and but also for the families.
Yeah.
And so I always take this opportunity to recognize the sacrifices that military families make when their men and now women are deployed wherever they may be all over the world, and in the dangers and rigors and hazards that they may be enduring. That it is both Captain O'Brien's and my wish that all of them return home safely.
Absolutely.
And that the mission that they've been deployed to accomplish is accomplished fully and with everybody coming home safe.
Bet.
So the binnacle list is this week is not going to have anybody by name, but it's going to point out in particular that many people who are particularly in nursing homes are not visited very much. They may have no family left, or their family may be far away. And in some cases, as Truman, you and I both know, they may have family that just doesn't give a rip anymore. And they have put them into these places. And So I take this opportunity to point out that Truman recruited me to be a board member on the board for Vashon Community Care. And I happily served under his command for the time that he was the chair of that board. Unhappily, and we're not going to get into that, but unhappily, sure. Vashon Community Care no longer exists. Right. But both Truman's and my mother's lived the last years of their lives there.
Yep.
And so I take this opportunity, and I know that Truman joins me in this, in asking that if you have somebody or you know somebody who is in an assisted living or even or especially maybe skilled nursing facility, mm-hmm. that you make sure that they get some sort of visitation over the Christmas season. So Truman and I started together by his allowing me to have 10 minutes on his morning scramble.
Well, now, wait a minute, Captain Joe.
That's exactly the way we started.
Yes, I allowed you 10 minutes.
Yes.
And well, but what did we use?
Well, we often use 12, 14, 15. And,
yes.
And in fact, it got out of hand to the point when a vacancy occurred.
That's right.
I was offered my own program, and that is the one that we now called From the Captain's Chair.
Indeed, indeed.
So the custom started out with my being when I was on Truman's program, the morning scramble on Tuesday. Did you have a Christmas program today?
We did. Yeah. We did. Yeah, played all Christmas music, some traditional, some non-traditional, some kind of funny stuff.
What do you mean by non-traditional Christmas music?
Well, dancing around in women's underwear. It was done to a Christmas tune.
There's a picture that I cannot imagine on the flight deck of my icebreaker yeah. going into McMurdo.
Yeah, I'm sure. But the other one that was quite good is to God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Mm-hmm. The bathroom door said gentlemen.
Yes. What,
and of course that somebody had switched the sign. And so the fellow went in and the whole song is about his getting into the wrong place. And it was quite humorous.
Well, but, I'm sorry. I missed Morning Scramble
yes,
this morning.
You did.
I would have been able
it.
To key off of that.
Yeah.
So part of the tradition that Truman and I started when he allowed me to have those 10 minutes on his Morning Scramble was to tell the story of how I came to get the Christmas tree
yes.
for the masthead for my icebreaker Northwind. And so we have now come to that time, once again, Truman, for the Christmas season and for me to tell that story.
Yeah.
So en route to break into the U.S. base at McMurdo on the Ross Sea side of Antarctica, we made a port call in the port of Wellington, New Zealand. Wellington mm-hmm. has mandatory pilotage, and I have talked before about some of the contacts that I have had with pilots all over the world. And in the and as Wellington had mandatory pilotage at St. David's Head, which is just outside the entrance to Wellington Harbor, I picked up the pilot. And pilot turned out to be the head pilot for the Port of New Zealand for the Wellington Harbor Board. And As was customary, my XO met him down on the main deck and brought him up to the bridge, and we greeted each other. Pilots in New Zealand, as they are in most parts of the world, are already licensed masters, and they have sailed on that license as captains. And that was certainly the case with Chief Pilot. He was a very experienced hand. And it must truthfully be said that at that time, he was somewhat older than I was chronologically, and he could see that my bridge was organized well and that he had little business in the way of giving advice to either me or to my conning officer, who was XO. And so we repaired to the starboard bridge wing and were conversing as captains are liable to do. And as he was requesting permission to lay ashore, once we tied up alongside the cruise terminal in Wellington, he said, Captain, by this time we had gotten to pilot and Captain Joe, and he said, Captain Joe, the annual Christmas party of all of the pilots is being held in my home, in a few days, and we would be delighted and honored if you would come. And I said, Pilot, I would be delighted to come. And he said, I will send a car for you. And so on the appointed evening, I was suitably attired. This was a dinner dress kind of evening. And I was suitably attired with dinner dress, miniature medals, but no sword. And the car drove up, and I was taken to Chief Pilot's home. And all of the pilots that were not on watch, that were not on duty, were at his home with their ladies. And it must also be honestly reported that at that time, when ashore, and I never drank at sea, but when ashore, I was an enthusiastic participant in the consumption of alcoholic beverages. And there were plenty to be had at this particular function. And I did my part. I did not let the side down, as the my English friends say. And so at the end of the evening, a little bit worse for wear, I was taking my leave. I said, Chief Pilot, I've really got to get back to the ship. Otherwise, I will not be able to hit my butt with my hard hat. And so he said, well, Captain Joe, is there anything that we can do to make your visit here more enjoyable? And I said, you've already done everyone in my crew, and by that time I was up to about 300 people, counting all of my aviation people and the scientists that I had accumulated over the last month. So I had about 300 people, and everybody had a family to go to for the time that we were there. We were there for several days. So I said, you all have just been treating me and my crew wonderfully. And the only thing that I'm missing right now is that I'm going to send my first lieutenant. The first lieutenant in our ships is the man who's in charge of the deck force. And I said, first lieutenant's going to lay ashore tomorrow, and he's going to buy a large Christmas tree. I need about a 30-footer. And he's going to buy a large Christmas tree because I observed the ancient custom of having a live Christmas tree at the masthead during the holiday Christmas season. So Chief Pilot, he just acknowledged that. And the car took me back to the ship, and I went up to the captain's cabin and was resting my eyes. And I was resting my eyes a little bit late in the morning, and the telephone rang, and it was the officer of the deck. And he said, Captain, there's this very large tree, this very large evergreen tree has just been delivered, and it's sitting on the quarterdeck, and it's taking up a lot of room. And we need to know what it is that you want done with it, because it's been consigned to you personally. So I got up and put on the appropriate uniform for in port observing of Christmas trees, and I went down to the quarterdeck, and sure enough, there was this enormous live evergreen tree, and it had been cut down on the base. The cutting there was a little bit jagged. It looked to me as if it had not been done by a skilled forester. And I said, I think I know where this came from. So I called up Chief Pilot, and I said, Chief Pilot, this is Northwind, Captain in Northwind. And I said, I've got this very large tree on my quarterdeck, and I suspect that it came from you. And he said, indeed it did, that after you left, we had a meeting. All of the pilots had a meeting, and we did not include the women, especially my wife. And we decided that we would go out into my back garden. In English-speaking countries, the backyard is called the back garden. We went out into the back garden, and as you may recall, or you may not, given the way you were when you left us, that I had a row of large evergreen trees back there. And we decided that you were a worthy recipient of one of them, and we went back with a saw and we cut one of them down. There is a gap in the row of trees back there, and my wife right now is not speaking to me, but we're going to get that sorted out. So I thanked them effusively. I acknowledged publicly, because I was doing some press interviews, and I acknowledged publicly the gift I did not say where it came from exactly, but I did acknowledge publicly the gift from the Wellington Harbor Board and from the pilots of this large Christmas tree. And then I got hold of my first lieutenant and I said, first, the tree goes up on the masthead. And he said, well, Captain, that's a big tree. And I said, that's right. It's a big tree. And it goes all the way up as high up. You've got to clear all of the radio antennas. You've got to clear the radar antennas. It's got to be clear of everything. So a day's work to get that tree up there. And it was lashed down. It stayed up there until the new year. It was on the masthead as we made our approach into McMurdo, breaking our way. It took me 2 weeks to break 23 miles of ice going into McMurdo. So there, Truman, you and I have now observed the tradition.
Indeed.
And you get to add another Christmas story if you want to put one in. And then we're going to go through my regular features. And you get to comment on each and every one.
All right. Well, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. The first is, what was the diameter of this tree at the base? Do you have any idea?
I do. It is logged forever in my in my picture book of memories. So I'm holding my hands up. It was about this big around.
Eight inches.
Yeah.
So and maybe 20 feet tall.
It was about 30 feet tall.
About 30 feet.
The time we got it up to the masthead, it stuck up a little bit above the cap or the truck of the mast.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other question is, how did you secure that there? I mean, doesn't that take quite a bit of motion up there?
It does. And it was secured with, we used a properly whipped 12-thread.
Oh.
12-thread manila line.
Yeah.
And you being a boater of
amateur.
An amateur boater of some experience. Yeah, you know what 12-thread is.
I do.
And it was bent onto the mast with properly whipped ends, 12-thread line, spaced at not roughly, but exactly 12-inch intervals all the way up to the top.
Okay.
That tree was not going anywhere until I said it was time for it to come down.
All right.
So that's how we got, and it was hoisted up by a very elaborate block and tackle arrangement.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. And did it drop needles as you?
It probably did, but we never knew it because
it was getting blown off.
Yeah. The weather was Christmas Day was a sunny day, but other than that, we had a lot of bad weather. But that tree was bent on with such skill.
It did not move.
By the deck force and by the first lieutenant, ably monitored by the electronics officer to make sure that no antennas were being impacted. So that's my Christmas story, and that is it for...
Well, I have one more, just a very short one.
Okay.
Very short one. Once I was in Germany at Christmas time, I received another package, only this was from my parents. And it had taken quite some time in transit getting from Texas, which is where they were living at the time, to Germany. And when I opened it, it was a smoked turkey, a whole smoked turkey. But since it had been so long in transit, the whole outer cover of it was molded. And so all of my friends went, oh, that's terrible. You know, you lost that turkey. I said, not to be concerned here, folks. I peeled off the skin. And that was some of the best turkey I think I've ever had. It was moist. It was delicious. But you had to peel off the moldy skin to get to it. So anyway, that's my other Christmas story.
All right. So we are going to, when we get to the end, and we're almost there already, we're going to deliver our Christmas greetings from both of the captains.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I am going to get a couple of my regular features in. First one is that because all of you know that because of some equipment problems last week, we were not able to record, but this week we are recording. However, one of the things that I mentioned last week was that last week was the day in which in Scandinavian countries, St. Lucia's Day is celebrated. And I did mention that because, of course, I have family in Stockholm. And the daughter of the family, Selma, no doubt was wearing the white gown and
With the candles
on the crown. And so I want to make sure that we tell my Stockholm family that we did indeed recognize St. Lucia's Day. And that, of course, is the beginning of the festive Christmas season in Scandinavian countries. So a quick, are we still talking about Old Man Winter?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
so I, once again, am so grateful for all of Captain Joe's people who continue to contribute so that we can keep your captain on up in the captain's chair on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and stream live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. And if there be any out there who are so inclined as we get to the end of the year, Voice of Vashon is a 501c3, and you are welcome to make a donation. And one of the things that we have bought is a lot of new equipment so that the signal is better. And hopefully we're all going to be much more efficient. I have a quick update on the Bonhomme Richard case Bonnie Dick. It is at least possible that that fire was not started by that young sailor, but was started by an electrical fault in a forklift. On the deck.
On a forklift.
On a forklift. That is possible that some electrical spark got a fire started. All of this is to say that it's quite possible that the way that this should be handled as a disciplinary problem may turn out to be different from what we have all thought. But from a leadership problem, it's exactly the same as it's always been. The commanding officer is the one that should be carrying the weight for this particular incident. I didn't ask for it, but it has showed up on my computer periodically, a program called Word Genius.
Oh.
Do you know Word Genius?
I do not.
Okay, Word Genius says it has words in which you are asked to select the correct word in a phrase. And so the one for today said, "What is the discussion between three people called?"
Hmm.
Do you know what it is?
I don't.
No, it is called a trialogue.
Trialogue.
A trialogue.
Not a dialogue, but a trialogue.
A trialogue, because it is three people. But the problem that I have with this whole thing here is it says, what is a discussion between? That word should be among.
It should be among.
Indeed. So when you have two people, it is between.
Between.
When you have three or more, it is among.
It is.
So these people coming at me and saying, Captain, you figure out, you're such a word genius. You figure out what is the answer to that particular question, they should phrase it in proper grammatical English.
I completely agree.
There we go. See, we're all...
Well, I have. Let me just throw something out real quick.
By all means, Captain, do it.
At 9:30 on Tuesday mornings on my show, I now have a feature called Christy the Wordsmith. And Christy is a friend of mine out in Montana. Mm-hmm. She has a regular show where she does the etymology of words. And it's very interesting. You should listen.
Well, I often listen to Morning Scramble, but I listen for what music. Sometimes you play some really bad music, by the way, Truman. Those are matters of taste.
That's true. That's true.
Now,
I do play very few Sousa marches.
No,
I admit.
Yeah. One of these days, we're going to have a whole Morning Scramble. Maybe I'll do a substitute for somebody, and I'll do all of Sousa marches.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know that you and I have done a lot of board duty on this island.
Indeed.
And not just with BCC, but with a number of other places.
Yep.
And so I was asked if I would assume membership of vacancy on the Pacific Northwest Poison Center board.
Oh.
And my friend and colleague, Dr. Scott Phillips, is the director of the Poison Center, and he asked me if I would join that board, and I said that I would.
Oh.
Now, this is where you come in.
Uh-oh.
One of the vacancies that is in the with the Poison Center right now is someone to become Mr. Yuck. And I proclaimed when I was asked to do this, I said, well, good doctor, I will be delighted to work with you. I would be happy to do something where we can work together, just like I would. You can ask me to do anything, and you know I would.
Certainly.
If I can, I would. But I said, I realized, and I know that one of the vacancies is Mr. Yuck. And then I thought it through, and I said, well, golly, somebody as professional as Captain O'Brien who can put that airplane down into those trees, he should be able to fill in the Mr. Yuck suit. And so the next time where we may want to do it is right here on the magical isle of Vashon for Strawberry Festival.
Oh, and you have to actually wear a suit that's the Mr.
You
Yuck.
Not only wear the suit, you become.
You become,
The Mr. persona Yuck. Of Mr. Yuck.
Ah, well, that
so is... I just want you to think that through, because I'm not sure that your application would be accepted in any case.
I'm curious about that, yes.
Okay, so I've got one other thing that I'm going to get in here, and then we're going to not say goodbye, but until we meet again.
Okay.
But my Ingham, the ship in which I served in Vietnam, and where I went, and I broadcast from there at her reunion.
Yeah.
They finally accumulated enough money to tow her up to Tampa. She's going up into dry dock. She's going to have some major repairs done to her bottom. And then she's going to be towed back to Key West.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And it's pretty exciting. I have been under her when she was up in dry dock when I was her captain.
Yeah.
And she has... just a lovely formed bottom.
It's not many things you can say that about.
That's right.
In today's world.
Right. So we've got 1 minute to go. And so I want you, Truman, to give your greetings for the season.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's Longfellow.
It cannot come any better than that. And in fact, I'm not even going to try to top that. I'm just going to say to all of Captain Joe's people, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. All of you who are responsible for other people, take good care of them, and especially during this holiday season. And with that, I send you much love to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world.